Radio.
Abed?
Hey, it's not going to mess with your audio, is it?
No, not at all. No, this is terrible audio, but I don't care. Because, Abed, I just want to talk about Star Trek, okay?
Oh, of course. I mean, don't we all?
They are insane.
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Matt Frosting.
There's nothing about you I find tantalizing.
Mr. Kim.
And it's real!
It appears, Magistrate, that the intelligence of the specimen is shockingly limited.
Hello there. Over here. That's it, right over here behind this outcropping of rocks. Hi. I'm Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. But where I am right now, well, it's not where I should be. Instead, it's a barren, rocky, craggy landscape. The sky and the mountaintops are a very similar color of gray. The ground is parched and infertile. There's a little bit of vegetation here, but not much, as though it's just starting to find purchase in this barren, barren landscape. You can hear this strange ambient sound in the background. And watch what happens when I grab these plants. Can you hear them? They're going down. These plants are causing this sound here. I let go, and it returns. I'm Mike McCafferty, and I am not in Van Nuys, California right now. I'm speaking to you from Talos 4. And it's important that I'm speaking to you today from Talos 4, because that's where the episode that we're talking about is here from. And the first thing I want to get out of the way is that this is a slightly different format than the first episode we did, which is a lot of jocularity. I want to talk to you today about the pilot for Star Trek. The first pilot, which never aired, and instead was relegated to this cold, bleak expanse. It's an amazing pilot, and it's also a flawed one. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because I just want to talk about Star Trek. Now, next time, we're going to have all my friends back, I promise you. And later on in this episode, we will be talking, hopefully, to my friend Abed. And so, as I'm trying to figure out what works best, I thought it'd be best if we try out this new format with The Cage. The first episode of Star Trek, but not our episode of Star Trek. Before Inception, before The Matrix, there was The Cage. The Cage was created in 1964. We keep on talking about this is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, but it's not. Really, a couple years ago is when the idea began for Star Trek. That's when Gene Roddenberry pitched NBC a sort of wagon train to the stars, which actually came a little bit later on, thanks to Sam Peebles. But this idea of pioneers going out into space was pitched by Gene Roddenberry, and they asked him to write up three different treatments. One of them was Return of the Archons, which we'll talk about later on, but The Cage was one that he proposed, and NBC bought. Most of the people we know from the traditional episodes of Star Trek are not there. There's no Bones, there's no Scotty, there's no Sulu, there's no Chekhov, there's no Uhura. There is Mr. Spock, and there is Major Barrett, playing a different character. But there, at the command, is Captain Christopher Pike. And this is where we start our story. This is where we start the pilot episode, focusing in on him on the bridge of the Enterprise. It's a slightly different Enterprise. Not 100% the same. It looks a little more like a Mad Men kind of set. Just a tiny bit more. The costumes are a little rougher. Not so bold with their colors. Kind of muted yellows and muted blues. Everyone has a little more of a militaristic movement to them and kind of action to them. Mr. Spock is shouting out commands as though he's on some sort of naval ship in the 1800s. And they receive this distress call from Talos. The spaceship Columbia, the American spaceship Columbia. And they still haven't really figured out things about the Federation, how long things have taken. disappeared 18 years ago, and now they're receiving a message to come down and visit. But Captain Pike says no. And this is the first thing which is unusual about Captain Pike from Captain Kirk, is that he says, no, no, no. We have to keep on going. We have to take our wounded off to this other planet. Because he's racked by guilt over the death of several of his crew members. Seven, I believe, including his yeoman. He wants nothing to do with this. It's a strange move for someone from Star Trek. We will not see other captains or commanders or officers ever do something like this, but he wants to just go away. He wants to rest. We see him in his bedroom, in his room, with his doctor, Dr. Boyce, John Hoyt, who did not like this episode when he saw it. He was like, this is a bunch of rubbish, and walked out of the screening room after it was done. So, you know, forget him. They wanted DeForest Kelly, but he wasn't available. So they got John Hoyt. Good actor. Good guy. Didn't like the show. And he's telling his doctor and his confidant how tired he is. How much he just wants to get away from it all. How much he just wants to return back to Earth and just live a simplistic life. And what the heck is that? Again, there's not a lot of captains. We see that we have other captains like Picard, who is more of an explorer, like Benjamin Sisko, who really wants to raise his son. Janeway wants to get back to her husband. They have secondary desires and drives, but you don't see someone who's so tired as Christopher Pike. He feels worn out. He just wants to escape. And he gets his chance when he goes to Talos IV. They get another distress call, and they beam down to the planet, and they find survivors, a bunch of old guys, and Vina. Vina's this beautiful woman here. Now, I'm telling you a lot of the plot because I need to understand it, too. I need to figure this out, but you need to hear it because it's pretty good. And she's beautiful, and she's seductive, and she finds Pike to be the perfect specimen. Out come these dudes with these gigantic heads, which I tell you right now, when you look up from the back, they look like butts. These gigantic, bald, throbbing heads look like butts. And once I tell you that, you'll never be able to see it. But that's the way they look like to me as a kid. They spray some sort of weird spray in his face. He collapses. They take him down their little space elevator. The crew can't save him. He winds up in a menagerie, or a zoo, basically, where these Talosians have plans for him. These Talosians, they live, they exist, they find pleasure in living through the memories of other creatures. So they've collected this zoo of all these other creatures to implant memories or fantasies in their minds, and then they get to live through them. And they're trying to do that with Pike. Now with him is Vina, the single sole survivor of the Columbia when it did crash. And they're trying to hook these two up because they want to breed them, sort of like SeaWorld wants to breed orcas, except they're not going to do it anymore. We're going to have a similarity to that, an analogous situation. So Pike tries to break out, and they put all sorts of terrible images of him burning in hell. Next, they try to have him be seduced by Vina. They put her as a damsel in distress, as a beautiful wife, as a seductress. And it almost works. This is the other thing. It almost works, and as far as we can tell, it might have worked, if not for the fact that Talosians beamed down two other Star Trek Enterprise women to kind of join into the breeding pool. Now he's got his choice of three women to breed with, but he's not buying it. He realizes that anger, primal thoughts block out their mental abilities, and so he captures one of them. And he realizes that all along, every time they'd fired a phaser, they thought it wasn't working. It was working, but they just used their power of illusion to block all that out. They get to the surface, where there the Talosians reveal their true plan. You see, millennia ago, their planet was destroyed by themselves. A great war had destroyed Talos IV, forcing them to live underground. They became so infatuated with living off the memories and dreams and desires of other creatures, that they stopped progressing. They stopped building machines. They didn't know how to fix the machines. They were stuck. And so they want to breed humans to get that vivid imagination and live off that. Pike will have nothing to do with it. Well, neither will number one. They set their phasers, their weird-looking phasers, to overload. And just then, right before they're about ready to explode, two more Talosians pop up, and they tell the main Talosian, look, we read their computer banks. These guys, they don't like to be imprisoned. The Talosian said, we didn't realize this. So sorry. Our bad. You can take off. Pike's a little pissed by that. Like, well, that's just it? In which the main Talosian says, what would you have us do? Basically, by you not being suitable, you condemned us to death. So, you know, that's what we're going to get. Pike wants to take Vina with him because she is a human. She's been the only one here. She's been trapped here and punished and basically tortured and psychologically probed by these creatures. But then the Talosians show him what she really is. And in fact, she's this sort of hunchback creature. Because when they found her, they didn't know how to put together a human, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense because, you know, the Talosians are also bipedal. But instead, they made her into sort of like a weird quasimodal-like creature who's actually 18 years older than what she appears. She doesn't want to go. So Pike agrees to it. You can stay. And the Talosians restore her beauty. And they also give her the image of Christopher Pike walking down the space elevator with her. In essence, she's going to live in fantasy for the rest of her life with this sort of this dream Christopher Pike. Pike returns to the Enterprise feeling refreshed. He's had his sort of vacation in his mind. And now he's ready to go back again. The Enterprise flies away, and through a lot of different pretty poor special effects, we see it flying through space, a lot of different reaction shots. End of the show. End of the Star Trek pilot. And that's what we could have seen had NBC said yes. Or it's what we could have never seen. And I wouldn't be here talking about this. And I would be saying, I just want to talk about nothing. But they watched the episode. The NBC executives watched the episode. They liked what they saw. It was bold. It was brilliant. But it was also brooding and dark. And it was more of a standalone movie than an actual setting off on new adventures kind of story. Captain Christopher Pike was such a nuanced, interesting character, but he didn't seem like he really wanted to be part of the adventure. So they didn't move forward with this pilot. And that should have been that. That should have been the end of it. But it's a good thing I'm here, and it's a good thing that the NBC executives and the Desi Lu executives, because this was Desi Arnaz, Lucille Ball production, kind of got together and they said, what if we make a second pilot? And nowadays, that's precedented. Nowadays, if something fails, they go back and they do reshoots. As I speak right now, they're doing reshoots for the Star Trek movie. They're adding in new characters. Why? Because it's not working. And so they go back, they tinker with it, and they mess around with it. They did it with the Star Wars movies, the Force Awakens. They did it with everything. They recast people. They reshoot stuff. But in 1964, 1965, that did not happen. They went back to Roddenberry and they said, give it another go. Don't start from scratch. But start from, you've got your sets, you've got your props, you've got your costumes. Move forward from that. They gave it another go. They kept Spock. And they'd start all over again. And we'll get to that episode next. But I want to go back a little bit to The Cage. The Cage, in my estimation, is the biggest, boldest gamble of a pilot that they ever made in Star Trek. It's better than the first episode of The Next Generation, of Deep Space Nine, all these other episodes, maybe Deep Space Nine, had some pretty interesting ideas. But The Cage explores reality versus illusion, confinement versus comfort, freedom, oppression, what it means to be a human being, and what it means to know what is real and to care about it. One of the part I want to hit about this episode is how good Susan Oliver is. My God, she's great. She's beautiful. She is a great actress. She drives all the action. You really want to see what happens to her. And more than that, this is not Christopher Pike's episode as much as it is Vina's episode. We watch her and we want to root for her. We want Pike to follow in this because we know she's going to be punished. She is the one, this is her journey more than it is Pike's. Pike is sort of a secondary character in this. And he does receive something at the end. He receives sort of a rejuvenation, a rebirth. But it's at the cost of Vina having to go through all of this. All right, so we're going to call my friend Abed right now. Abed has lived a very interesting life. He's an interesting guy. He's a little loquacious. I got to be honest with that. We might have to kind of reel him in. But I'm excited to talk to him because he's in sort of this nexus of reality and illusion. And I want to see what's going on with him.
Hello?
Abed?
Oh, hey. What's up? I didn't recognize the number.
Oh, it's Mike, Abed. How are you?
Good, good. You call him from San Diego?
I used to live in San Diego, Abed. That's where I started out when I came out to California.
Oh, weird. Okay. I was like, San Diego, what's going on here?
I know. Hey, Abed, I'm doing my podcast right now, and I'm calling you.
Oh, snap.
So Abed, I had a long sort of diatribe or many a monologue about the first episode, The Cage. Have you ever seen that?
That's the very first one. It doesn't have Kirk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't watch it recently. I watched it probably high school era.
Okay.
Because at the time I was like, I'm going to go through every Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I started with that one, and I think I was like, this is terrible.
Terrible.
I was like, where's Kirk? Where's the ship? You know what I mean? Like, it was really like a different show. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I felt like that too. I'll be honest with you. I felt like that too because you're right. Like, where's my hero? Where's Captain Kirk? But here's the thing, Abed. I just watched it like last night, and it's really good. I want you to go back and watch it again.
You're ordering me.
this is the prime directive, Abed. You have to go back and watch it because it's not a great Star Trek episode, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I watched it thinking it was like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it wasn't, to me, it was like Star Trek, it's on the ship and they're doing stuff. And when I watched that, but I think since I was younger and I was really into Next Generation, like obsessed, is what I was craving was that style. So.
Right.
But now looking, if I look at it objectively, I can probably enjoy it.
I think you would. I think, and you know, the themes which come out from this, in my watching it, and I know you haven't watched it since like high school, but that's okay because it makes me smarter than you right now. But
I'm off guard.
exactly. It's the whole idea of reality versus illusion. You know, because.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating, because Pike has this option to live a very idyllic life, you know, with Vina and never have to worry about anything for the rest of his life, and yet he chooses to live a less satisfying life that is, by his definition, real.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah, well, those words, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I want to hear your take on this.
Well, I mean, could you re-familiarize me with the plot? Because you said Vina and something about a Wooku, and I was like, what? Who? What? Where?
Wooku. I never said that, but no, that's all right.
I mean, you said a word like that. It was like a word I didn't understand, like a Star Trek word.
Okay.
Like a planet or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And I guess Vina was like his lady, right?
Yeah, she was the green girl. Remember the green girl?
Oh, the green girl, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember green.
Yeah, but she was like the only human survivor on this planet. And these,
okay.
Remember those big, those creatures that had the weird big bubble heads?
Yes.
They capture Pike and they bring him down and put him in this zoo where they're going to live off all of his memories and fantasies, and they want him to breed with this Vina girl, who's the only survivor of this crash like 18 years ago. So they're building a zoo.
Man, I would love that life. That sounds awesome.
See? Yes.
Just like, I just want to share my memories with aliens and breed. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I kind of came like, that's such a 20th century thing, isn't it? Isn't it like, oh no, we have to have free will. It's like, who gives a shit about that, right?
Yeah, cage me up and just tell me where to, you know, where to point my brain.
Yes. Yes, this is terrible. I'm sitting in my car. You go ahead.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Say,
I keep interrupting you.
No, you talk. This is your show.
I'm getting older, and I'm just like, yeah, this free will thing kind of sucks because, like, I've made a lot of bad decisions, and I think I kind of need someone to tell me what to do for a while. You know, it'd be sort of like a relaxing, like, I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress about getting a job or anything. You know what I mean? Like, figuring out, like, where the hell do I belong in this world? You know what I mean? It's like, I think I could use 10 years of that. You know,
exactly.
It's like a vacation.
And yeah. then when you decide you're done with it, you just fantasize about escaping. And then like, right? And then you escape.
Now, I would hope they would let me out after 10 years.
But would it matter? I mean, like, would you know? I mean, like would any of us know or care?
Oh, that it's 10 years later, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. That or that like we escaped. Again, like it's you know, this construct, you know. I mean, I don't mean to get too Inception-y, but like how do we know that we're not with the Talosians right now? Oh, I'll probably like Talos and the Talosians, yeah. That's probably the words that you heard. So
Yeah, Talosians, those are the aliens, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. So we're on Talos 4 and the Talosians are the creatures.
Wait, so why did they pick Pike? Study.
Why'd they do what?
Why Pike? Why did they pick Pike to study? I mean, why Pike?
Well, because I think, like, they called him in through a distress call, right? And like a bunch of them beamed down, and Vina, who's played by Susan Oliver, who's great. If you watch,
Susan Oliver is awesome. Yes, yes.
Oh, you know her?
I know who she is? Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do. She's great in this episode, but she keeps on staring at him and saying, you know, you appear to be a perfect specimen. And so, like, they're kind of, I think, like, they've already figured out that he's the one. And so they capture him. So.
Yeah.
But it just. Go ahead.
Did Kirk, I don't know if this is true, but did he reshoot the same pilot? Like, did they shoot it with Shatner?
No, they shot a second pilot. They shot an entirely different pilot.
And they kept this one.
Well, what they did is that they repurposed a lot of this, and this is probably how you remember a lot of it, to do a two-part episode called The Menagerie, where Pike was, like, hurt in, like, in an accident. He's in that weird wheelchair with the blinking lights.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, they present the case of why he should go back to Talos, and so we basically watch 80% of the episode on this view screen in the Enterprise. And then it's kind of a weird like wraparound episode, but it works.
Oh
yeah.
Okay. So, I see.
Yeah. All right. So Abed, tell me a little more about
back to the Talosian.
What's that?
No, I thought you were going back to the Talosian. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I think we've wrapped that up pretty much with you. I want to know a little bit more. You're a Next Generation guy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, huge. I like Deep Space Nine also, but Next Generation is my jam.
What's your favorite episode?
Well, I've got a lot. The one that comes to mind would have to be where Picard. Whoops, that's a huge faux pas.
Wow.
you got me all Talosian'd up. I'm ready to go into those Talosians, but
I'm feeding off your memories. I'm feeding off them right now, Abed.
I'm in a cage now.
Yeah.
that is Burbank. the one where Picard, he plays the flute. Remember the inner light?
The inner light, yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, that's like so deep on so many levels, and it really got to me when I saw it the first time, but it's one that I look back on as being like an excellent just single episode of the show. Just like very, very perfect. Very like, I love Picard. It's a great Picard story.
Well, and there are a lot of similarities between that and The Cage, aren't there? I mean, like, in both cases, they're placed into a different reality. They try to escape.
Right. And the O'Brien one, where he's, like, trapped for, what, 20 years? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, I guess my favorites are the ones where someone's trapped.
Well, yeah, see, this is why I called. I don't know why I decided to call you, Abed, but I knew, like, you had to be, like, one of my first guests that I wanted to talk to about this stuff. I don't know why.
But, oh, sweet.
And this was the episode.
I think we and you bonded on Star Trek. I feel like somehow we came to it one day and we were talking and we had the same passion.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have a passion.
You might have been like, wow, this young guy really, he's really into Star Trek like me. You know, it's like we definitely bonded, I think, on Star Trek. But, what's weird is, I got into Next Generation by force.
Yeah.
My mom
by
would
force?
Watch it every Saturday. No, by force.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, well, tell me about it. By force. I want to hear about that.
Okay, so, like, this was, I guess, 89 or 87, whatever the show was like, I guess, second season or something.
Yeah.
And, 88, I guess. And my mom was, she was so into it. Like, just, like, obsessed with Star Trek. And, like, I was, like, a Star Wars kid, so I remember thinking, like, where's the space battles? Where's the action and fun and romance and everything I like about science fiction? And I would have to be watching it with her. She wouldn't let me change the channel. So I was, like, forced to watch this boring science fiction show where they just sit there or just walk around the ship. And, yeah, I mean, that was my attitude going in. I was very frustrated. And then, like, it was like magic. It was like, little by little, I started to really love it.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I got caught up in one or two episodes and, like, became obsessed with the characters. I couldn't get over, because I was young, I was like, which one is Spock's son? You know, like how are they related to the old crew is what I was asking.
And right, like, right. The next generation, yeah.
The next generation. Yeah, I was like, well, where's the genealogy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, then, like, as time went by, it's just the show got better, and I became more obsessed with it.
Have you watched them recently? Have you watched The Next Generation recently?
Oh, yeah, and love it more, even more.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? I mean, I watched them all on, like, Netflix, and just, like, I was up to like three a day. I couldn't have my day go well if I didn't watch an episode or two.
Wow.
Because it was like, it's just like, it's become so ingrained in my brain, in my life, that like the hearing the theme song and just that natural sort of sound being on the ship, that, you know, air conditioned sound was right. Holy, whatever that is.
It was an air conditioner.
Like, it's just like, yeah, it was an air conditioner. They forgot to turn them off when they were shooting.
That's right.
Was like, I become like obsessed with it. Yeah. Yeah.
You might have to talk me through a little bit of this, because my viewings, because what I love Next Generation when it came on. I watched it religiously as much as I could. And now when I watch them, I find that I'm a little more bored than I should be. I find that I find that they're much more predictable than I want them to be, and there's only a few episodes which really move the narrative, the meta-narrative of the story along that I want.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'd say the first couple seasons are really boring. You know, it's like they're kind of getting their momentum.
Yeah.
And then season three, all through seven, is like, great. And there's, of course, going to be a couple missteps, like episodes that you're like, that's kind of boring. But then there's, like, always really good ones coming up.
Yeah.
You know, like the cutest, and I like all the stuff with lore. And I also like, I like any kind of Worf, you know, just being dragged into something he doesn't like.
Right.
And just, like, kind of kind of grumbling about stuff. Like when he's in the holodeck, that one's good.
Now, now Michael Dorn always talks about wanting to do. He has this vision for doing a Captain Worf TV show. Do you want to see that?
Yes, I do. I also am very excited that Brian Fuller might be doing the next series.
Yeah. Why?
Because honestly, I wish they never stopped. You know, because I was into Deep Space Nine. I was into Voyager, Enterprise. I think I was kind of getting over Star Trek, you know, it was like growing up.
Yeah.
And, I realized when I watched those shows, I was like, why isn't there one now that's just this? That's just, it has a premise, and we have a crew, and it's a weekly show. Why can't we still have this?
Yeah.
So I would applaud, even if it's on Netflix, applaud any kind of Star Trek show.
Well, it's going to be on CBS All Access.
Oh, that's like you have to download the app and all that.
No, it's just gonna be like a Netflix kind of deal. You're gonna pay like $5.95, and then you're gonna like be able to watch that and I Love Lucy episodes, I presume. Like whatever CBS has like rights to. So that'll be it.
Yeah, like I don't even know what their library is.
I don't know either, but they're gonna.
Like Gilligan's Island.
See, I would watch. See, you know what? That's funny. That's the second time in this series that it has been invoked. Gilligan's Island. Maybe we should do a Gilligan's Island podcast, Abed. Would you be down for that?
Oh, are you kidding? I love Gilligan's Island. I remember years ago, Justin made fun of me for watching it.
Yeah.
I was at his house, and I'm like, he's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm just going to go home and watch Gilligan's Island and go to bed. And he's like, why would you watch that shitty show? And I'm like, shitty? I'm like, are you kidding? It's amazing. I love it.
It's
wholesome. It's funny.
But doesn't it, but again, and because I just want to talk about Star Trek, I need to bring it back. Didn't that show frustrate you on some level that they never get off the island, that in a sense they were sort of in their own cage?
No, I didn't care.
You didn't care?
I just loved it.
Oh, God.
I love that everything gets screwed up. And I like sitcoms because they're safe and you don't have to worry about the plot getting away from the central theme.
But that bothered me so much, Abed. It just upset me that these nice, amiable people could never get off the island.
Yeah, but it's a show. It's not. I mean, we're not watching real people on a real island. You know, there's no Dracula on an island.
Well, when was Dracula on that island? I don't remember that.
I mean, I don't know if it was Dracula. It's just like a spooky castle, and there was a guy with a cape.
You're thinking about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's the episode you're thinking about.
No, there's one where they make the people on the island switch brains.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in a spooky Dracula-like castle or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm just saying, that was the show that I would get pissed if they got off the island, because that's their, like, that's their wheelhouse. I mean, like, everything on that island is them.
Yeah.
You know, their personalities.
I know.
Because you take the island away, you take away the show.
Yeah. Abed?
I mean, who cares about Gilligan in New York?
Abed, I like this. I like this vein of conversation. It really actually excites me in some ways. But I can't talk about it.
I know. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I really want to talk more about it, but I just want to talk about Star Trek. All right. So we can deviate a little bit, but we can't go far.
Okay.
All right. And this was my fear about our conversation, Abed, because you're really good at that. You are a Talosian of dialogue. You can cloud my mind.
Never heard that one.
Yes, you can make me see things I don't want to see, and all of a sudden I'm talking about Sherwood Schwartz shows and having a tough time getting back on track.
I've done that in other podcasts. We've gone into another realm of conversation, and you can't stop it.
No, I know, but because that's the title of my show, that it gives me liberty and license to do it. You know, I'm the ninth judge on the Supreme Court now, and I can say, you know, objection.
You can bring the hammer down.
I can bring the.
No, that's the power. I mean, you deserve it. I mean, you're the one that's making this thing.
Yeah. Hey, Abed. I'll wrap this up pretty quickly. But what character would you like to be from Star Trek? If you could be anybody.
I mean, that's like an interesting question. I guess I'm bouncing between Odo.
Odo
and Picard.
Wow. Why?
Yeah. Picard, because he's got, like, a perfect life as a human. I mean, he's an older guy, but he's handsome. He's, like, smart. He reads. I read.
Yeah.
He does fencing. I mean, it's like, I kind of want that life. But then Odo is just so freaking cool. You know, like, everything he can do and what his background is. Like, I almost think Odo's, like, the best alien in the show.
He could be. He's certainly the most alien out of anything that they have in the show.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to choose because I'm like, well, I want all these cool powers that Odo has, but then if I have to scale it back and be a normal human, I guess Picard's the best choice.
Now, do you feel like an Odo sometimes, Abed? I mean, like, do you feel different from everyone else? Yeah. Do you?
Of course. It's my life story. I mean, there was a meeting in third grade about how different I was.
Oh, What happened there?
Yeah, they spat me. It was like an intervention. It was like everyone turned their desks towards me, and they tried to discuss what was wrong with me.
What conclusion did they come to?
I mean that you can't change me, that I'm going to be weird. And I'm going to, like, I used to bark at people. I was a clown. I was a kid. I was just goofing off all the time. I couldn't be serious.
See, here's my counter argument to you being a changeling is that you are in fact the least malleable person as far as your personality. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are the most, like, there's nobody who is like you, and you rarely conform yourself to other people to satisfy them.
That's very perceptive of you. It's kind of true. I've kind of just wanted to be me and let everyone around me sort of situate around what my personality is, and I don't think that's too selfish.
No, I think it's very mid-20th century, you know, the fact that you're holding to your values. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, that comes back to free will. I mean, we get to have these lives that we want, so why should I remember sometimes getting into arguments with people and them saying, like, you need to do this, you need to do that. How are you going to get a girlfriend? And I'm just like, why are there rules and regulations to doing that? Why can't I be myself? And if someone likes me, cool. If not, then fuck them, you know?
Exactly.
Can we cuss?
We can. Sure, why not, right? Well, I guess we had the clean lyrics thing on this, or clean, but who, you know, right? I mean, if we're this deep into the podcast, you know, people are in all the way, so.
All right, well, I'll play it safe. Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's all right.
I guess the changeling thing is really appealing in that sense, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it's not who you are, but it's what you would like to try it out.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I would just love, I guess it'd be like a vacation. I'd like to be a changeling.
Yeah, that'd be, although he did.
On vacation.
Odo, though, himself lived a very sad and solitary life, you know? I mean, like, before he got into the Great Link. So maybe there's a world out there for you, Abed, filled with people just like you, and your body will morph with them, and you'll swim in a giant sea of Abeds.
That sounds spooky, like a John Malkovich kind of.
It would. And for, like, some reason, I'm really kind of freaked out by the idea of your facial hair. Like, where, like, if you guys all, like, kind of, like, morphed together, what would happen to your facial hair? It would just be, like, floating on top? It just kind of freaks me out. Do you still have a beard?
I do, yeah. It makes me look distinguished.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Smart.
Yeah, no, it's a good beard. You do have a good beard. I'm enjoying that.
I think it's from Riker. I think growing up with Star Trek, I think Riker's beard, because my mom always said, you know, now he's a handsome man with a beard. That's what my mom always said.
Really?
And I think that might have, maybe that just, like, attached itself to my brain and didn't let go.
So this is your Riker maneuver you're pulling. You're doing the Riker maneuver.
Yes, I am. I'm doing the Riker maneuver.
I like this, Abed. This is great. All right, Abed, I'm gonna let you go back inside your house. What can we plug? What? You
wait,
say
wait,
something.
Huh?
Huh?
You go first. You were about to say something.
Well, I want, like, where can people, if this podcast ever hits the air, where can people listen to you or talk to you or learn more about you? Don't you have your podcast on Riffin?
I do, but I don't know. I mean, we're not on a steady schedule because my partner, Rich Falcher, he's always, he's got so much stuff going, you know?
Yeah.
that, like, we try to nail down times when we can... Well, it's called Gone Riffin', and it's on iTunes, but there's only two of them up there.
There's only two?
I don't know when we'll do more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
I don't know when... It's hard to promote something that you're not sure when it'll be up.
right. But they can listen to the first two episodes.
Like a TV show people can tune into.
Yeah. But we live in a non-linear world now, in like a four-dimensional world now, where like you can listen to anything from the past beyond. There's no need to be like at a certain point in a certain time anymore. Right?
Yeah, I know. We try to be topical, is the thing. Because like we want people to be interested in what we're saying. But I guess on Twitter, maybe it's at Abed G.
All right. We can do that.
Also, I mean, if you want to learn stuff about me, just look me up online. Everything's there. My whole chart through the ages is there. It's everywhere. It's online. I mean, you know, it's like an entity that you can just plug into.
Exactly. Now,
yeah, it's horrible for family because they see my horrible creation, but
yeah.
You know, it's good for like situations like this that people are like, "Oh, he's funny. Let's see if we read about him." You know.
Now, do you have? I mean, like to as I swayed here, I know I'm supposed to. I was told you were going to be done, but we have sort of like a kind of a. I don't know if it's like a mirror universe or if it's a fantasy world, where you have Danny Pudi who was playing a character based on you, for a long time. Have you reconciled that, Abed? Are you okay with that? Is it? I mean, what?
It definitely is weird. It hasn't gotten less weird.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely more fine with it than I was. I think for a long time I was so just like, that was my big shot and I missed it. And I was just feeling really bad. And like, it wasn't until like, I think 2 or 3 years into Community that I got over it. And
yeah.
I was like, you know, it's just one of those things you got to just deal with. But it's definitely odd. It's not something that you're prepared for.
If the Talosians, you know, like, if the Talosians were to show up and basically said like, we can make this so that you live like the life that you want to as the lead of Community, would you trade that right now?
You know, that's a fascinating question because I've thought of it. I've definitely thought if there was a moment where like a fairy godmother just goes, the timeline's screwed up. You're supposed to be in the show. It wasn't supposed to go this way. I would kind of wonder if maybe I shouldn't do it because I think not being in that show gave me a lot of hard lessons in life that sometimes things aren't going to work out and you have to, it just makes you stronger and more hungry to prove yourself, to be creative in different ways.
Yeah.
So I'd say the journey to get to somewhere like better is more appealing than just getting what you want. That makes sense.
It's not this episode. It's not The Cage. It's really Tapestries, isn't it? From The Next Generation, right? Where Q offers, yeah. And
yeah, I was just thinking that actually.
Yeah.
Like a Q situation.
Right. So I agree with that, Abed. I think who you are from this point forward is going to be far more interesting than if you became like a big, huge star and could like rest on the laurels of being like a celebrity for a fixed point in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would have had a wife and kids probably by now, but I mean, is that the right destination? You know, is that how I want to get there?
Exactly.
I have this weird obsession with the fact that you'll get somewhere no matter what you do. So I'm like, I'm probably traveling the long way around as opposed to taking the shortcut.
Yeah. I buy into that.
So, and the long way around is there's a lot more interesting stuff going on that trip.
Well, if you go the short way, then you're there and then you got the rest to like ponder about like what's next, right?
Yeah, and that could drive you nuts because not only that, like I would be all this praise and attention would be heaped upon me. Who's to say that wouldn't have screwed up my head?
Exactly.
And made me kind of become like this bitter sort of asshole. that's like, well, I'm the shit, you know? I don't care about any of you little people, like, kicking people around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Ken Kingsley is a good example.
Who? Ben Kingsley?
On Larry Sanders' show.
Oh, yeah, Hank Kingsley. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I thought you said Ben Kingsley. I was like, wow.
He's the version of me that I would never want to be. It's like, he's so full of himself, but he's actually a big idiot.
Right. We don't want that.
No, no, you don't want that version of me, yeah.
No. And we don't want to talk about Larry Sanders either. Bob Ed, we can't. We
that's because I've been watching it.
I'm sorry.
The thing about that, it goes back to Star Trek, is just like, where it's like that Inner Light episode. It's like, here's a life that Picard had that was like, he actually wanted a family. He wanted all these things that he had in this other life. But then when you see that he's got that life, it's not necessarily good, you know? It's like, he was fine. You know, his life was all right.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes all the things that we think we want, we probably shouldn't have.
Exactly. Yeah. There has to be some... So we've come full circle now. We've realized that if we could live in a dream world, whatever it is, it's not worth it. We have to struggle, because otherwise we wouldn't know what we were missing. Does that make sense? Maybe no, actually doesn't make much sense.
Oh, yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, like you, I'm trying to think, like, another analogy is when you play a video game, you don't want the cheat codes. Like, I had friends that used cheat codes, but I was like, but it's a cool game. Don't you want to see all the different levels and go through the hardship of trying to beat it?
Yeah.
You know, like, isn't that more important? I'm from the Nintendo generation. So.
Sure.
It's way different now with video games, but it's like, I just remember feeling like, I don't want to cheat. I want it to be like an experience.
Yeah, although I do say that lots of times when I play the game, I do play it on easy, just because, you know, like, I don't want to have to struggle, like, too much.
No, that's fine, because, I mean, honestly, like, we're all human. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We have limits.
This is true.
It's different today with games, because... I'm talking about the time period of when they had Game Genie and all that stuff.
Right. I get you. All right.
Well, you had to type in like ABC, BBBB, left, right, trigger, all that junk.
Yeah. No, I got it. Yeah. I got it. No, it's no. You're right. It is the trek, not the destination. Right.
Oh yeah, and then that's what Star Trek's about.
Exactly.
It's like the voyage to discover things is important.
That's right. Abed, I'm going to cut you off right there, because that's like such a perfect way for us to end it, if you don't mind. Thanks.
Your show. Yeah.
Well, it is my show, but it's our show. While you're here, you're my guest. So.
Well, you should have said that earlier. I would have gone a little crazier.
I'll call you back. I'll call you back sometime. So.
Oh yeah, I'd love to. Honestly, this is one of my favorite topics of conversation in Star Trek. So.
Me too. So I'm going to give you a call back sometime soon, and we'll talk. I got to work my way out of all this TOS stuff first. I got to get that out of my system, and then I'm going to come hunting down for you for TNG. Okay.
Yeah. In the meantime, I will watch The Cage. I will relive that experience based on what you said, because now I'm super curious.
Watch it and email me or whatever, and let me know if I'm crazy or not. All right, let me know if it is a good show, or if I just, like, I've up-resed it to something better. If I put it in HD in my mind or something.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think you can rent just that episode, right?
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's free. Just get on Netflix.
Oh, it's free. Oh, god damn it! That's right.
Yeah.
Have the TOS. Yeah. I forgot about that.
No.
Yeah, I rent stuff at the library.
Oh no! Don't do that. That's yeah. Go watch it on Netflix. That's watch that, and then go watch Daredevil, new season. So.
Oh God, I'm watching it now. Yes, it's excellent. Love that show.
Good, cool. Abed, thanks so much.
I feel bad though. Oh. All right, cool.
No.
Let's do a topic.
Yo, what do you feel bad about? Tell me what you feel bad about, very quickly.
Oh, because with these Netflix shows, you know, they pile them on in 12 episodes, and I end up watching like the whole thing in a week.
Yeah,
and I'm just like. Now I got to wait a whole year for more Daredevil, you know?
I know. But that's, you know...
That's the only caveat, yeah.
We are Talosians. We just consume other people's realities and then wait. And we're looking for more to put into our menagerie, Abed.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Wow. Yeah. Are you really watched that episode?
I watched the shit out of it. I'm sorry. That's, yeah, I'm going to swear with you, but yeah, I watched it. Cool. Abed, thanks for calling. Thanks for talking to me, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Okay.
All right, cool. Yeah. It was a delight.
All right. Go inside and get warm. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. It's not bad outside actually. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm on Talos 4, so it's a little colder. So.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, buddy.
That was Abed Gaith, Channel 101 Luminary. Check him out on channel101.com. Gone Riffin' Podcaster and Twitter Tweeter. Check him out. He's a funny guy. As for me, it's time to leave Talos 4. I've got what I needed. I have more of a delineation between reality and illusion. And I know that I will not allow illusion to dictate my life, but I'll use it as a tool, not to mask who and what I am, but to give me dreams to move forward. And I'll know when it's time to push it aside and to work and struggle. I understand now that I can dream all I want about something, but in order to achieve it, I have to wake up and get moving. I'm Mike McCafferty. And I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Distract sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
You will note the confusion as it reads our thought transmissions.
Feral Audio.
Hello. I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. He's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I help people. She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My